In the studio, I've got careers expert and your mic's not on yet. Oh. Career development professional and Monster Prince fan as well.
Monster Prince fan.
It's Natalie. How you doing?
Morena, how are you? I'm very well. Very, very well.
You're not supposed to answer the question yourself.
Oh, aren't I?
You said, how are you? I'm very well.
Oh, well, no, I am very well. How are you?
I didn't get a chance to say because you just kept talking.
Oh, that's not the first time I've heard that, Aaron.
Yeah. Anyway, that makes anyway. It's good on the radio. It's good on the radio. Silence is the enemy of good radio.
Well, so, yeah, it is.
What was the thing careers wise that we were going to discuss?
Okay,
today?
So one of the things that I think always comes up is you will always ask me, well, how do we engage our rangatahi? How do we have conversation? So I have taken it upon myself to develop my own skills to ensure when I kind of come back to you on this, I feel like I'm up to date. And over the last few months, I think it's about January, it's just part of my job anyway, but doing a lot of professional development. And I've had this real focus of trying to think about a post, you know, like where we're at, like right now, because for the last 2 years, it's been a really difficult time. Mm. So I've been doing lots of work in the mental health space, and I've been doing lots of work, you know, thinking and trying to understand, well, if it was difficult for me, as somebody who could be, you know, not necessarily have a lot of barriers in employment, you know, what's it been like for others? So our younger people we know have been statistically highly affected by the pandemic.
By losing jobs?
Losing jobs, just moving from face-to-face to remote learning spaces, you know, that's really come evident in now we're having graduates and students leaving tertiary education or you know high school with a lesser ability to network and understand actually what that term means, because we still think it's kind of like that white collar, oh, you will network, but you know it's
the
about actually
network.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's about actually kind of being able to advocate for yourself to others that you might not know, but also look for opportunities in a network. But that's another conversation. Well, anyway, so part of that has been about strengthening some of my skills working with youth, because a lot of youth now aren't going on to higher education. They are looking for other opportunities. Anyway, long story short, I attended some workshops and have done some reading on career theory or career and mental health in youth. And through that research and training, and I went to a workshop that's hosted by a Canadian. So Canadians lead the way in modern career exploration and development and implementation. Yeah, it's quite incredible.
Okay,
so
right. They
have really amazing resources available to everybody. So you don't have to be a practitioner to access these. And they're through CERIC, so CERIC. CERIC is the, I can't remember, it's an acronym for something, but it's a
first
charitable trust.
Canadian.
Yeah. So CERIC, CERIC. And they hosted.
Resource.
Yeah. You can find it, but if you just Google it, it comes up. And it's a charitable trust from Canada that are career leaders, career thought leaders.
Yeah.
And so a gentleman called, or Dr. Chris Magnuson, ran these workshops. And throughout that sort of process, he talked about how to engage with youth, and one of the resources that he talked about is the 5 P's, and it's the five. I know.
This is different to the 3 P's about what not to put down your toilet.
Well, there is, but this is so much more fun, I think.
Yes.
I mean, please don't put anything down your toilet that doesn't come out of your body. But other than that, you know, like the, you know, when Roger puts the, where was this? And there was the curtain pole and that was blocking up the pump system. Do you not remember that post?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, there's all sorts.
Crazy things that go down the loos.
Yeah.
But this isn't about that at all.
Right. Okay. So just to clear that up.
The 5P conversations that you can have with youth.
Yeah.
It's focus on pride, passion, purpose, performance, and then a wonderful word, poise.
Okay.
All right. So pride is about what gives the person a sense of worth or value or connection. And passion is obviously what the person cares about. Purpose, a way for the person to harness or express their passion. And then performance is about how a person can take action on a direction. And then poise is a word that they've had to use because it means movement, but it's how a person can become polished in their action. So it's about practicing and presentation and all of those kind of things.
It's how you hold yourself.
Yeah, you're ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
So becoming ready to go.
So you don't come in with your head down, your shoulders slumped and grunt at people.
No, I mean,
is the extreme way you don't want to do it, I guess.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's one way. But, I mean, it's about practicing those interview responses. It's about understanding yourself, and then it's about understanding the organisation that you might be talking to, or, you know. So, yeah, fully. And there's sort of then a whole set of questions and conversations that you can have.
So have you been able to implement this in your daily activity?
Well, I suppose not in essence of bit by bit as this is, but a lot of the career theory and a lot of the career practice, I mean, you do have conversations around these topics with all of your clients, but they might well be broken down into different ways. So I might have somebody that's ringing up because, you know, they're really concerned about the way they perform in interviews, job interviews.
Yeah.
So again, at that point, that you might have a lot of conversations around that performance and poise.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's broken down, but these are really been focused on these five kind of categories, and then developing conversations that we can just have with young people. So sometimes those conversations can be very one way, as in you ask an open question and you listen.
Yeah.
You know, and you listen actively and you listen with encouragement, as opposed to offering perception and projecting maybe what you think the answer is, or, you know, you maybe take your turn. So when we are talking to people about subjects where we want their input, our encouragement is the only thing they need.
Right.
And our encouragement can be silence, not necessarily examples. I hope that makes sense. That's about delivery.
it's not issuing them instructions from our expert.
Yeah, I think you should.
Older state.
Yeah, if you're leading in a statement that says, I think you should not finish that statement and just let people speak for themselves. But that's just me. So, you know, some of the things that we can do for conversation prompts around pride is kind of, you know, it's about getting your students to maybe talk about something positive. So it's about asking them to tell me about a time where they've done something they're pretty good at, you know, something that they're just good at. Tell me about a time where that happened for you, or tell me about a time that's something they're really interested in, you know, because interests and can make the time go really quickly. So they might not know that they've been doing whatever it is they've been doing for an hour or so because they're really enjoying it. And then at that point, it's about acknowledging those and saying, well, it's pretty impressive. Tell me more, you know.
Something I've noticed that young people are not always good at is if there's a small setback, or like a potential employer doesn't call them back, like they think, oh,
I don't think that's a young person trait. I think it's exampled in young people, but I think that that exists for a lot of job seekers all across the spectrum of age.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of rejection from,
but the thing
you know, that one dar is just, it's huge. And it's really, can be really, really marring. It can
but
be
it
really,
be
really debilitating. Yeah.
Probably happened because the employer, potential employer, is very busy,
or
might be very forgetful. And it's for me, I'm 50 now, right? And I'm like, if someone doesn't call me back, I call them.
Yeah. But you could, 'cause it's different, because your kind of sense of ownership is different.
Yes.
But
yeah.
I mean, so.
But how to encourage people to.
Set them up before they start, don't you?
Okay.
And then you go through that scenario. Well, what will you do if it doesn't work out? What will you do if you don't hear from them? What are the options that we might have to solve that problem?
Because being persistent actually might impress the potential employer.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because we've got this incredibly low employment rate at the moment. So it's like down to 3 point something, really, really low. So you think, well, if I'm looking for a job, it should be easy for me to get a job because there's not that many people unemployed. So, but I was told the other day we had, because there's a lot of employment shift due to the changes in our traffic light system. So a lot of government roles that people have been employed in for the last couple of years are no longer required.
Oh, yes.
So for certain industries, they have had unprecedented responses to job adverts, unprecedented responses. So
while the cafes in Raglan can't get enough staff, people who were doing stuff for the pandemic suddenly.
Yeah, it's a different kind of employment, though. Remember, so people that have been offering security might not want to have or have the skills to work in, hospitality.
No, I was just
and things
sort of
like
emphasising
that,
like you're saying, it's a localised kind of.
Yeah.
Issue.
So the job market is always localised, and I always recommend that people will really understand what it means for them to be going to work. So how am I going to get there? What draw my commute to me? If I'm using public transport, what are the timetables? So if you've got a really clear idea of how you are going to get to work, when you start looking, you can start to understand the role requirements even further. Is this going to be a job I can be applied for? So if we take that right back to why you don't necessarily hear, there are lots of different reasons why you don't hear back from employers. And if you are understanding the process of why I am I'm applying for this job, am I applying the right tools to this scenario? So for that, for example, that is, am I responding to the job advert, or am I using a CV that I used for a different job 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago? You know, so every single role that you apply for has to be treated like it's an individual application. And while you are going with the same information, you are talking about the job advert in your CV specifically, so that you're answering the questions. And if you do things like that, the chances of non-response are reduced. But then you also have to understand that there are lots of reasons you don't get the job, and you might never know what they are.
I was, in the instances I'm thinking of was just some actual just... it was kind of the job accessed through personal networks.
Mm, yeah, which
someone
is,
said they were going to call back and yeah. didn't. And I'm like, man, chase them up.
Yeah, follow it up. You know, look, yeah. I really appreciate that you're busy, and I don't mean to interrupt your day too much, but I'm just following up on our conversation.
Yeah.
And but again,
or even depending on the employer, don't even apologize.
No,
about it. Just say
I had a conversation
about
apology.
I'm just chasing you up. Be upfront about
yeah.
it. Like, I'm
yeah,
chasing
I'm
you
chasing.
Up.
Yeah, I'm following up on yeah. that conversation.
I'm bugging you about this job.
Yeah, I'm really keen yeah. to. Carry on, but we sort of lost track a little bit there because it's okay
fault.
It's good conversations, but we're running out of time.
Yes,
I mean, we always run out of time because
it's Friday, it's nearly 10 o'clock. That's the
Friday.
End of the week, 10 o'clock on Friday for me.
Well, it's the first week back at school. It's like such a big accomplishment for all the parents out there. Well done, team.
Oh, well, we've only got one at school and she's 17, so she's
oh well, you don't get congratulations.
No,
I'll have your cupcake.
We just have to remind her it's Monday tomorrow, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Yeah, but then we have the first day of soccer, so don't forget that, team.
Yes.
But anyway, the second sort of conversations you can be having around, so we've talked about pride, how to elicit kind of pride conversations in our young people. The second one is passion. So here we're trying to understand why students are proud of what it is they've talked about as something that might be their pride. Why are they prideful? Why is it that this is important? So this is kind of where we elicit the passion part of it, the motivations behind it all. And you can start with, why was that such a meaningful experience? Why did you enjoy that task so much? And notice how all these questions are really big and really open.
Yeah.
And then you just sit back.
To get, well, yeah, a yes-no answer doesn't get people.
No. Well, yes-no answers aren't really questions, I don't think, unless it's kind of like, do you want to come in here? Yes.
Yeah.
Also questions such as, you know, how do you feel right now when you think about that? Because that helps to identify those feelings, right? And if we can identify feelings, we can talk about them, we can put strategies in place. Maybe then people won't be so upset and closed off if they don't hear back from from job applications.
Seagulls.
Yeah.
There's a load of seagulls
yeah.
somewhere in town.
So it's really important when you are talking about passion to be empathetic. So reflecting skills and paraphrasing, like, it's not about good or bad. It's about saying, well, you know, how am I saying there? It's about saying, well, that's really amazing. It's about affirming it. Well, that's really interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
What a great, insightful thing you've just said about yourself. You know, because passion is something that can be, it's one of the most difficult things I think as a practitioner to talk about, because it's deeply personal to that individual, you know. And sometimes people are passionate about things that, I don't know, can be a bit weird and be a bit, but it can be really useful tools in the workplace, you know.
Yeah.
So be careful with passion is what I'm saying. You know, compassion is not something that we share easily. So empathy is the tool. They're great empathetic skills when you are talking about the term of
yeah.
passion. And then purpose. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you then.
Oh, no, it's all right. Go on. You go on.
So purpose is about providing a direction and a way to harness one's passion. So your goal here really is to establish at least a tentative way to harness it. So you're taking these big concepts and saying, well, what can we do here? You know, you might create another experience that could fulfill some of the same values and interests. You know, what would that situation be, and why might you need those skills? So if somebody talks to you about really loving performance and how they just, you know, that expression and helping people, well, then you say, well, how could you do that in another scenario? So you can talk about it as a concept and an idea, but we are kind of trying to get that perspective from that individual.
And I think a lot of people don't realize that they've picked up skills from their hobbies and from their,
yeah.
their the rest of their life that actually
yeah.
can be transferred into
a job. So another way of kind of defining that is that we work in all areas of our life. We have our home life. We have our study life. We have our social life. We have our school life. We have our work life.
Yeah.
So where did, you know, what did you do in each of those? We work in all areas of our life. The definition of payment is regards to employment. It's not necessarily with regards to work. You know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because people work at Marais, they work at the churches, I work in community organisations, and I don't get paid for that, but that's still work, and that contributes to develop a set of skills that I might not be able to develop in my working life. And so that's why I've also chosen to do some of the voluntary work that I do.
Right.
Because as a solo person, I don't necessarily, you know, a sole trader, I don't have a team. But I want to be involved in management skills and things like that. So being involved in committees is a way of learning a little bit about, you know, management dynamics. And it's totally different again, but that's, I'm not, but it's an example of me developing skills in that area. So I'm using myself as an example there. And we've got a couple more prompts here. Have we got time for this?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. Sorry, I can't open my phone. So another one is performance. And this is action creating momentum. And momentum is one of the most important concepts in active career development. So moving forward, let's get going with this. We've had these ideas. So what can we do next to facilitate this happen? So what next steps can we take? What feedback would you like? Would you find helpful? Ah, you know, that's a really funny one, isn't it? Saying, well, what feedback would you find helpful? Well, actually, I don't necessarily want to know about when I'm doing things that are good. But I want to know when I'm doing things that could be done differently, or so I don't need praise, but other people might need encouraging more than me.
Yeah, yeah? Most people probably need to know what they're not quite getting right, but they also need encouragement with it. It's very hard. You come out of school and negative or any kind of criticism is taken quite hard.
Yeah,
I think and somehow we need to learn. Find a way to get back to the point where we just accept it as data and use it to our advantage.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, we live in a data-driven environment, don't we now? You know, with social media, everybody's got the opportunity to express, and there is some kind of perceived value in those expressions because everybody has the right to an opinion. What we forget on the other side of that is we have the right not to listen.
But when I'm talking about data, I'm talking about when you did that job interview, you didn't speak up enough.
Yeah, that feedback.
And as a young person, you might feel a bit hurt by that, but it's also useful data.
So it is, and it's really interesting. So again, if I kind of look at that through my lens of a career practitioner, one of the tools that I use is there's a theory called chaos career theory. And one of the tools that we use from that is planmanship. And planmanship is an exploration of what will happen if it goes right? What will happen if it goes wrong? What will happen if you get, and if that wrong is, oh my gosh, talking about feedback, it would derail me if I got really negative feedback. Okay, well, let's go through that process. So what would be the worst negative feedback that you could possibly get? And then you start to flip that on top. So now you know that, like how might you sort of work through those feelings and how might you respond to yourself when you are thinking and feeling that way about that scenario? Yeah. It's really interesting, and why, again, I kind of always advocate for like, understanding what it is that you're doing is really, really important in the space of careers, because it's not just as easy as to say, I think you should.
Yeah, I felt all at sea at that young age looking for work. Like what you're talking about is a preparation, a background that I certainly didn't have.
No, and to be fair, I don't think the career practitioner that told me it got me to fill out a form, which is like the worst thing you can get me to fill out, even as an adult. So, you know, as a sort of 14, 15-year-old dyslexic learner who was, I don't know, whatever with stage of puberty and all the rest of the gross stuff that you go through as a young person, you'd come up with a tick box scenario. And I vividly remember, because it's, you know, it was way back in the early 90s, this printer, the noise it made and her ripping off, you know, it used to come through with the serrated edge and the holes.
Yeah, yeah.
And her kind of ripping off the side bits.
Yeah, yeah. Dot matrix printers.
And here you go. Is your prescription for your life's work. You know, this is what you're going to be doing. And the top of the list was nurse. And I think it's really funny because anybody that knows me knows that's probably the worst job I could probably do. So anyway, I went even better. And the first job I did was a dental nurse. So he was like, oh my God, you can't speak to anybody. So
And you probably got something over your mouth.
Yeah, I had the whole time. Yeah. And then, but I mean, I did enjoy that job. It taught me a lot. I really did. did, but a long time.
At 5 o'clock when you
leave. Oh, they got me on reception pretty quick.
Oh, right, okay.
But there was a couple of people that had quite significant impacts on my life with that first job. And I remember the dentist recommending a book that is probably my most favourite book in the whole world. And I will always fondly remember having these conversations with this adult about literature and reading and him being interested. So it was one of the first kind of adult relationships that I'd formed outside of school and outside of work. That was this commonality that was
right.
kind of quite random.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one was the person that took me through my kind of apprenticeship induction days. And she was really awesome dynamic woman who was, you know, had really great handwriting. I always remember that about her as well. But anyway, yeah. That's right. Like I said, got me on reception pretty quick.
Very good.
Very good. Last one. Yes. The last P. The last P we're talking about is poise. And poise is performance with confidence. So again, when you're talking to your people, your goal is to help them to unpack what they did to develop the confidence. All right.
So find an area in life they're confident.
Yeah. And talk about it. Okay. So why do you think you accomplished this? You know, what specific steps did you take to make that happen? When you think back on that experience, how did it make you feel? You know, so we're doing like two different things there, aren't we? We're talking about the emotion, but then we're breaking that down into practical steps that maybe can be copied or mimicked in some way.
I'm wondering if some people would be like, oh, I'm not really good at anything. And can you say, well...
I always say, well, what are you really bad at?
But can you But can you also say, like, are you good at making a cup of coffee? Or are you good at making breakfast in the morning?
And yeah. Anybody that went to Black Sand when I was behind that coffee machine knows damn well that I make a cup of coffee.
But I'm just trying to get to the point where there are things you do perfectly well in your life and you might discount them. But that's the
absolutely.
Thing. You don't feel bad about
absolutely.
It when you do it.
Yeah. And because we're not necessarily saying this is about work.
Yes. Yeah.
The pressure of and the definition of good and bad, it needs to be taken away from these conversations. Because the reality is you can be very, very good at something and it make you very, very miserable and be the worst thing that you should be doing for 40 hours a week for 40 years of your life. Like it's not rocket science to think that if we just define everything with good or bad, in between is a chasm of different interpretation and it can be better to have a different interpretation and just good or bad. Does that make sense? Like there is not necessarily anything good or bad about a job, but in between that is a personal definition of why you might be motivated to get up and do that job. And that's what's really important in the form of careers.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion. Does that make sense?
It does.
I hope it does. Please feel free to ask questions.
I'm looking at the time. It's 5 past 10. We've run out of time.
We did so well.
No more questions.
No more questions. Well, Prince has really enjoyed my interview.
We've got this uncut magazine with Prince on the front.
And I'm borrowing it.
Yes. And there might be more magazines with Prince on the front in their box, you know.
I might have to have a look. It's a really wonderful box of uncut magazines and I might have to borrow a few.
Yeah. But we actually needed to go over time a little bit because when I replay the show on Monday morning, I think I let a song play like over and over again back there, so I need to edit that bit out. So a little bit more at this end is good.
But the reality is...
We're very professional here, very professional.
Oh, always,
I wouldn't get a job at Radio New Zealand.
No, but they're just... That's all right.
Yeah,
that's
no, I don't want one, which we actually discussed.
Yeah.
Topic.
This is, again, like... So the project that I'm working in, which is free career advice for all New Zealanders, is running up until the end of June.
Yes.
So 0800 601 301. As of next week, we're back on site at Dinsdale and Five Crossroads Connected site. So whilst they are in the Work and Income building, these are facilities that are able to be used for anybody that is looking to make change to their employment. So we are there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right up until the end of June. Use the facility because we're not 100% sure if it's going to be rolled over.
Then you'll be out of a job.
Oh, I'll be fine.
I know you'll be fine. But Yeah, just the irony of it, I think.
I know, it is quite funny, but that's the long-term goal, right? If I'm doing my job properly, then eventually no one's going to need my help because they're going to be able to manage their own career and have the skills and expertise to make informed career decisions. So
I think we're a fair way off that, to be honest. Well, at this point in time. Yeah. Not blaming you, just saying that's what I'm picking up out there.
If you do need any support, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can give reach me through again. Career Tree. Yep. That's my business. Yep. Or you can reach me through 0800 601 301. Ask, be put through to the Waikato team, and either myself or my colleague Claire will be getting back in touch with you.
And you've just been listening to Natalie Sims.
Yep. Thank you,
Aaron. The voice you're hearing. Thank you for coming in.
All right. Thank you.